All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing the local podcast. Good morning. April 2nd, 2026. No April Fool's here today. We've passed it. It is the 2nd, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is one of those days in April, man. Yesterday was sunny, hot, shorts, flip-flops. Today, overcast, gloomy, misty, wet, cold. It's like crazy. Last night, man, we had an amazing thunderstorm. It was just incredible. I mean, I sat out on the back porch watching the lightning. It would just shoot across the sky. I don't know if it was hitting anything, but it was epic. And, you know, really cool. Thought I would come upstairs, see if we can do a podcast. It has been a minute. No real reason. You know, have days it seems like a good idea, and then something comes up. And, yeah, I keep saying I want to get back into the routine, and I do, and I will, but here I am, right? just doing the best I can. But I did, you know, I thought I would come up today. I've had a, I'm not sure when I did the podcast last, but it's been interesting. You know, obviously no drinking. March 31st, 3 days ago, was my original sobriety date. Not that that really matters, but, you know, I'm grateful that I am still around and participating, because March 30th was not recovery was not on the radar, and then of course 4 or 5 years later after that date I would pick up and so on and so forth. So in the end, I'm just super grateful I'm here, and yeah, I hope everyone's doing well. Yeah, I had a rough weekend. We had, I don't know, I guess the whole country, the whole world, I don't know, the big No Kings protest. And I just, I don't know, I got into it with a bunch of people on Facebook, friends of mine, good friends of mine. And, you know, they said some stuff and I said some stuff, and I felt really, you know, at the time I felt like it was justified, right? And, you know, I needed to say it, and it was, you know, it was fine. I had the green light in my head. And then after it was all said and done, I felt bad about it. And, you know, it's a shame. One of the guys, I had the fellows over on Sunday. We had our Sunday morning meeting. And my one, M2, he, you know, he's one of these young guys. He's into all this tech. He's like, I'm going to do some of that 3D printing. And we're going to print some shut the fuck up coins. And I was like, yes, I need some shut the fuck up coins, because if, you know, if I was in this program because of my ability not to shut the fuck up, I'd be picking up a new coin.
Here is love tastes bitter when it's gone. Past yourself, forget the light. Things look dirty when it's on. Funny how it comes to pass that all the good slips away, and there's no one around you can remember being good to you. Shame shouldn't try you. Come and step by you. And open up more. Shame, shame, shame. What we lost here is something better left alone. The second steps have been forgotten. Will you tell me how they go? Set yourself, situate like a fool, try again. There's no one around you can remember being good for you. So shame, shouldn't try you, couldn't step by you and open up more. Shame, shame, shame. Try you, couldn't step by you and open up more.
Matchbox 20. Yep, the shame was deep this weekend. And, yeah, I need to pick up a coin. I don't know. It's weird. I have been dealing with this for a while, right? I mean, it all stems from the president, right? I told that to a client yesterday. I'm like, I can't wait till Trump isn't the president anymore. And she's like, oh my God, I can't believe I heard you say that. I go, well, listen, I'm not always a fan of Trump. I like the policy. I think we're learning a lot, but you know, he can be a bit of a pain in the ass. And this is the same thing that happened to me the first time he ran, and it's happening again. I'm trying to ignore it, but, you know, it'll be nice. But the reality is it'll never be nice. We will never have niceness again. I mean, it doesn't matter. And when I had the conversation with my client, I'm like, yeah, you know, it'll be exciting to see who's next, right? You know, who's next? And, of course, very liberal lady. She had no clue. Right. And I asked her, I said, is it just that you hate Trump or do you hate the policy? And, you know, we sort of got into it a little bit, not, you know, heated, but, I think everyone just seems a bit lost, what direction we're going in. And I was just like, you know, hopefully one day we find some, you know, a new president or whatever comes in. I mean, of course a president, right? And then we all just get along, right? Everybody just puts all this shit aside and we all get along. And but that's never going to happen because everyone is going to have an issue, it seems. But, you know, these people that I, you know, and it was great. I went to, you know, I've been going to my home group, which is Wednesday night, which I usually have gone to. It started to become a bit stale for me. And I started to sort of dread it a little bit. It became very big meeting, and it's a great meeting. Great people, not one single issue at that meeting. It's all me and in between my ears. But you know, the meeting became really big and popular and loud. And you know, I was like, okay. And I've been taught, you know, through my time in recovery, listen, you got to mix it up. You got to keep it fresh, right? And so I started hitting up the noon meeting on Wednesdays, which I love. It's an As Bill Sees It. It's a great read, great conversation, great group. And, you know, I've become a big fan of the meeting. And yesterday I was like, you know, so yesterday I had to work, or I got to work. I didn't have to, I got to. And I wanted to try to get done so that I could still hit the noon meeting. And I did. I actually did fine. I was headed up there, got to the meeting, and the parking lot was so full, there was no place to park. And back in the day, you could park on the street, but they've, of course, updated our infrastructure around here. And so they've cleaned up these streets, and there's no street parking. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to make this one. So I came home and I said, I guess I'm going to go to the meeting tonight, which was last night, which is actually my home group. And it's interesting because, you know, I feel guilty that I haven't been going to the Wednesday night meeting. It is my home group, and I get that, but, you know, I shouldn't feel bad about it. And no one's made me feel bad about it. My sponsor's like, I haven't seen you. You're doing all right. I'm like, yeah, I'm going, you know, to a different meeting. Oh, cool, right? So it's all cool, but I've been sort of bearing this burden, and I was like, you know, this will be good. It'll be nice. My issue with the night meetings now are just that they're at night. I've sort of come accustomed to being at home, cooking dinner, hanging out with the family, relaxing, making my life easy, right? And so the 7 o'clock meeting has become a little bit of an inconvenience, right? So the noon meeting's been great, and I do enjoy it. Fast forward, right? So I went to the meeting last night, and it was freaking terrific, right? All of my friends. People ask me, I was worried. I thought maybe you went back out. I'm like, no, I didn't go back out, but it was great. And a buddy of mine celebrated 3 years, and it was absolutely awesome to be there. A lot of new faces, a lot of interesting stories that's gone on in the last couple weeks that all sort of came together last night, which was definitely interesting. But, you know, one of the stories that he shared about is, and I do think it's really cool, is that, you know, when he came in, he sort of, and I've watched it, you know, he got involved with a group of guys, which I think is always the key to success in recovery. Find a group, you know, be part of something, be accountable to somebody, let somebody know what's going on, find the middle of the herd, right? It's the ones that skirt around the edges that disappear and no one even notices. I remember when I came to my first meeting, I just felt so out of the loop, just sitting on the outside. And Ron M. came up to me and he says, I'm going to be your sponsor. And I felt part of something. And that's exactly what these guys have done. And they have a lot of fun in recovery. They're all pretty new. I mean, a few years. I mean, you know, not brand new, but, you know. And I think that's, you know, that when I came into this program, you know, I came in through the hospital. One of the parts of that program was an outpatient program through the hospital that met on Thursdays. And at that group, I met a bunch of guys, a guy named Tim, my buddy Rick, who would lead me to my buddy Scott, who would lead me to my buddy James, who would lead me to, you know, just a ton of people. And Paul and, you know, the list goes on and on. And we had like a men's group. But this was in 1997. We had no cell phones. Well, there probably, I guess there were cell phones. I didn't have one. I was definitely, I did not have a cell phone. And last night they were sharing how they have these great group chats. And they have a lot of fun in group texts and stuff. And I'm, you know, clearly not part of that. But, you know, it's the same thing. It, you know, it's just, you know, fast forward 30 years. And I think it's so cool. And but one of the interesting things was is that all of the friends that I made through early recovery and then through my time of going to meetings, and some would drop off and some would sort of fade out and some would stay strong. I, you know, really in the end, I had probably 3 or 4 good friends left. And but I tell you, when politics all of a sudden became a thing, it turns out they're all liberal, which is fine, right? I'm not even, I don't know what I am. I'm just listening, right? I'm just listening. But my God, right? And in 30 years of being friends, that has never, ever been an issue. Our political thoughts, ever. I never knew my buddies, all these guys to be liberals. I never knew that. I never knew myself to be something different than that. In fact, all my life I've actually been a Democrat, a liberal, I thought. Just wasn't that big of a deal. And now, man, whew, and this weekend, a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, you know, really sent me a post on Facebook telling me that I needed to send my first son to war to the front lines, you know, almost implying like your son should go to war and die. If you support what this president's doing, your son should go to war and die so you'll understand. And I was like, whoa, whoa, man. And we really got into it. And then another friend who is another good friend of mine who's been, actually I owe my whole career to, he has to chime in. Now I'm like annoyed at him. And you know, I'm like, we've been friends for 32 years. I mean, you're going to throw all that away? And he goes, we still are friends. I was like, oh, I see what's going on. We're just going to piss each other off and call each other names and shit. But when we all step away from the phone or the computer, we're friends. And I guess that's sort of the world that we're in. I got into it. I've gotten into it. I guess I can't help myself. I've gotten into it with a couple people, and it's just, two guys I got into it with on the internet, you know, we had it out over the weekend, sort of. I mean, I learned the hard way I guess maybe a year or so ago when I posted something right when I think Trump became president. I posted something and I really got it. And I was like, okay, this is a different, I'm not really cut out for this. And, two, we're in a different kind of world now because, you know, people can say and do whatever they want on the internet without any real repercussions. So I learned the hard way, and I've tried to refrain. But for some reason, you know, I just mixed it up this weekend, and I got into it with a couple other guys. And then by the end of, I think it was like Monday or Tuesday, one of them posted something, and I said, Don't you have like a protest to go to? Like, I'm sort of done with it. It was fun for the weekend to bitch and yell and scream with you guys, but I'm sort of past it now. And the one guy laughed and he said that he thought that was funny. And him and I had been mixing it up. And I said, listen, man, we probably agree on a lot more than we disagree. And I said, you know, I looked at your page. You look like a normal guy. I really, you know, I don't particularly want to be mad at anybody. And I think we sort of, I think we're all like, yeah, you know, in the cage, right, you know, gloves off. But out here, we still have to remain somewhat, you know, friendly, I guess. And that was it. And I left the weekend thinking, I'm sort of done with this. You know, and that's always those reminders, you know, does it need to be said? Does it need to be said by me? And does it need to be said by me right now? And none of those would have worked. You know, it did not need to be said. It did not need to be said by me. And it did not need to be said by me at that moment. And so, you know, fast forward, you know, another guy, another buddy of mine who I love, right? I used to do another podcast and he was actually on it with me. Freaking brilliant musician, dude. But he started having a meltdown on Facebook, and then him and I got into it a little bit. And I was like, why? You know, what's going on? So last night, I go to this meeting. And granted, I haven't been to the meeting in probably 2 months, 8 weeks maybe. And I walk in, and not really nervous, just, you know, actually really excited to be there. And you know, nothing much had changed. And then I see my buddy that I had been fighting with on Facebook come walking in. Actually, I seen a guy come walking in. I didn't have my glasses, so I couldn't really tell who it was. But then he spoke, and he's like, you know, and he just shared a little bit of a story, and he's got, you know, a couple days, and he's just been going darker and darker. And I was like, oh, my God. And so after the meeting, I went up to him. And I don't know if he thought that I was still mad at him because he looked a little like, I don't know. He didn't know what to expect. I went over to him. I'm like, my God, dude, my heart is full seeing you here right now, brother. You know, I could tell he was having a bit of a crash out on, I think he had posted something like, don't reach out to me if you're just trying to make a contact. And I'm like, dude, that's life, man. It ain't what you know, it's who you know. And one of the best things I think about recovery is being able to build a great group of friends, right? Never. Ever in my life in recovery has there been more separation in people. You know, 2 years ago, I had a great group of friends, and now, you know, we're all divided. And I think that's the purpose. I think that's the technique is to divide, right? A country divided will never stand. But it was just a great night to see that guy and to see my other buddy celebrate 3 years and to see him in a community of friends that are all, you know, working towards each other. And then another new guy was there. He had, I think, 70 days or something. And then one of the guys I sponsor said he needs a sponsor. And I said, well, go sponsor him. Be his temporary sponsor, you know, see how it works out. And so, you know, one of the guys I sponsor picked up a sponsee last night, which was really cool. And I don't know, man. I'm just, you know, I'm grateful today. I wish that I could refrain, right? I wish I could refrain. You know, I love to say that I don't have a drinking problem. I have a I don't give a fuck problem, right? Because I think that before every drink and every drug, I had an opportunity to make a better choice and care, and I didn't give a fuck. And that same shit happened this weekend, right? I know better. I know that it's not going to help. It's all ego and pride and devil work. And, you know, the same philosophy I use when it comes to drinking, because that is really what it comes down to. If I drink this drink, what will I lose, right? And I'm so, you know, programmed in that, you know, when I came in the program, right, I was one bad choice away from drinking. Now I'm about 5, 6, or 7. I don't know. But, you know, I have a whole routine. You know, I'm not going to hang out in bars. I don't even, you know, fantasize about the idea. But I don't use that same technique when it comes to, you know, opening my big mouth on certain situations. And, you know, there I was this weekend, you know, not giving a fuck, really not caring about who I'm hurting, what I'm saying, what the future is going to look like with these relationships. And, you know, I'm throwing it all to the wind to do whatever my pride and ego and self wants to do. And then I had the same shame and same guilt and felt bad about myself, the same bullshit that happens when I used to drink. And, you know, I need to be better, right? These are character defects. It's a character defect of mine. It's a defect of my character not having the ability to keep my mouth shut, right? That's a problem. And that's a six, you know, the guys that I'm sponsoring, I just went online and bought three Drop the Rock books. One of the second greatest book ever written, right? Or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Excellent book. If you haven't read it, check it out. Because we are getting ready to start doing 6 and 7. We've been on 4 and 5. I've told these guys, you know, get something to put it together. I mean, I'm not going to beg you. But I said, get something together. Let's get past it. Let's get into this, some 6 and 7. And so we're going to redrop the rock, and it's great. But, you know, this is a character defect. These are the things that, you know, telling someone to go fuck themselves on the internet, is it going to make me drink? Yeah, it might. Slowly but surely, right? You know, I didn't walk into the woods quickly, and I didn't walk out of the woods quickly either, right? It's a slow process, but it all starts from that one bite, one thing we say, one, you know, trip to the bar. I don't know, whatever it is, but it's a slow start. But when it starts, it's just gradual, and we don't even pay attention, or I don't even pay attention until the next thing you know, I'm saying fuck it to everything. And, you know, I don't want to do that. That is, that's not fun. And I didn't get sober to, you know, act like a fucking asshole. And that's what I have been doing. And so I'm going to pick up my coin, my STFU coin, and I am going to put it in my pocket, a nice STFU pocket piece. And I'm going to try to remind myself, right? Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Maybe my opinion isn't necessary. And see how that works. But, you know, it's been a great, everything's going, you know, everything's fine. These are just fucking problems. These are small issues that I can avoid. And just keep telling on myself. I shared in the meeting last night that, you know, I had a bad weekend telling people to go F themselves, and it wasn't fun, and I know better, and the devil got me. And so, yeah, let's do, let me read the daily reflection, and then we'll see what's going on. All right. Here we go. Daily reflection, April the 2nd, character building. Ha ha. It's so funny how these things all just sort of tie together. Demands made upon other people for too much attention, protection, and love can only invite domination or revulsion. All right, let me read that again. Demands made upon other people for too much attention, protection, and love can only invite domination and revulsion. I think I get that. Let's see. That's the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 44. When I uncovered my need for approval in the fourth step, I didn't think it should rank as a character defect. I wanted to think it more as an asset. That is, the desire to please people. It was quickly pointed out to me that this need can be very crippling. Today, I still enjoy getting the approval of others, but I am not willing to pay the price I used to pay to get it. I will not bend myself into a pretzel to get others to like me. If I get your approval, that's fine, but if I don't, I will survive without it. I am responsible for speaking what I perceive to be the truth, not what I think others may want to hear. Similarly, my false pride always kept me overly concerned about my reputation. Since being enlightened in the AA program, my aim is to improve my character. Yeah, surprise, surprise, right? Who would have think, you know, I you know, the transition from the person that I was, transition from the person I was to the person I am today was an eye-opening experience for sure, right? People-pleasing is definitely a character defect of mine, or it used to be. Getting people's approval, you know, because my life was so crummy, right? My life was in such, you know, I remember when I worked at the golf course, you know, I was actively drinking. I was actively living that alcoholic life. I was miserable, and I was lost spiritually for sure. And I remember getting the job, and I remember, and I just talked about this in a podcast, I think, about my buddy EB. You know, he was such a, he was a prick, but he was so great at really commanding people's respect. He had a way about him that made me want to work hard. I remember he, at some point, he said, I became the irrigation technician for the country club, which was a big deal, right? In my mind, it was a big deal because I didn't have to do like bunkers and, you know, some other junk that I hated doing. I got to manage water. And I was so like, you know, look at me. My pride was so, because I was living in such a low existence that it just felt so good to be, you know, important to somebody of need. And so I was like, yes. And, you know, I remember one of the first things I had to do was water. So this was an old irrigation system. So, you know, it wasn't automated, wasn't run on radios. It was all valves and pumps and pressure. And I, I used to have to turn on the pump, go open the main gate, turn on some heads, shut down the main gate so that the pressure would go up, go back to the shop, check the pressure. You know, it was like an orchestra. And I was good at it. In fact, I was really good at it. But one of the first things I had to do was water the fairways at night. And that job, I would have to come back to work at like, I don't know, 8, maybe 7, 8, and start watering. And, I, you know, like I turn on the pump, you know, and I'm doing this all by flashlight. So this is in the summer, so it would stay light, you know, until 9 or something. But once the sun went down, man, I'm riding that golf course through the middle of the night with a flashlight. I knew that golf course like the back of my hand. I was out there by myself. Everybody else that I worked with was home in bed sleeping. And I'm out there watering this golf course because EB has asked me to. And I'm living such a low existence that I'm looking for anything to look like a better person. So I'm saying yes. Right? 99.9% of people would be like, I am not riding around in this golf cart watering these fairways at night, all night. I'm just not doing it. But, you know, I was so broken. I was like, I'll do it. And, you know, it made me feel like I was part of something. But, you know, was I people pleasing? Yeah. I mean, was I also doing my job? Yeah, it was a lot. But I do know that in the back of my mind, I thought, well, if I do this, maybe EB will like me, right? Maybe he will respect me a little bit. And, but, you know, I thought I was doing the right thing. But today, you know, I've learned about people pleasing. When a person like myself exists like I do, you know, we're looking for anything to feel better. But all right, well, listen, I appreciate you letting me share. I hope that was all right. I have no idea, but I'm going to try to get back into doing the podcast. I hope everyone has a great day, and I'll talk to you later. Bye. Let the wind blow you across the big floor, but there's no one around who can tell us what we're here for. But funny in a certain light how we all look the same, and there's no one in life who can remember ever stood for you.